The following recording is copyright 2011, Diocese of Little Rock, all rights reserved. For more information, visit www.dolr.org.
I think we know that despite all of the great preparation that we all made to come on this pilgrimage, and certainly the wonderful care we received from Terra Sancta, the Holy Land is not an easy place to visit. A lot of walking. Sometimes people get sick. And it's, you know, this is a country that's got lots of problems. But for that very reason, this is the most inspiring pilgrimage you will ever make. And now you are returning home, having actually seen the very places where the most important events in all of human history have taken place. But even more than the visual images are the hard-to-describe human realities we've encountered. The country's got lots of problems. There's some tension in the air. We were put face-to-face with the very difficult situation of the people in Bethlehem, the oppression that they face, the fear that Israelis live with. Okay. When I was in Israel back in 1978, what most impressed me was the fact that, you know, in Jesus' time, it was a troubled land too. And I sort of thought like, well, the people that are in charge now, which is, of course, the Israelis, kind of like the Romans of Jesus' time who are in charge, and the difficult situation of the Palestinians, kind of like the difficult situation of the Jews of Jesus' time. That's how I felt it anyway. It was into that very context that Jesus sent his disciples forth. He didn't send them forth into an easy situation. He sent them forth into a land with troubles to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. And moreover, though Christianity emerged from the ranks of those who suffered under the Romans, it was Jesus' explicit intention that even the highest walls of separation should not get in the way, that we should reach across all that divides us so that no one is excluded except by their own choice. We see this in the Gospels. Jesus' insistence on reaching out to people who had a hard life, who were on the fringes of society, got them into a lot of trouble. The prostitutes, the tax collectors, who were collaborators with the Romans, people with leprosy or possessed by demons, the poor, the uneducated, and Jesus associating with all the wrong kinds of people hurt his reputation with the more upstanding people in society. But even more controversial, both religiously and socially, was the fact that Jesus' compassion extended also to their enemies. Specifically, in his case, to the Romans who were then occupying his country. And that's exactly what we have in today's gospel reading. You know, you can kind of visualize it, imagining like the Jews in the story might be kind of like the Palestinians today, and the Roman centurion kind of like an Israeli general. You get a sense of how improbable this must have seemed to Jesus' followers. An Israeli general asking a Palestinian wonder worker to heal his servant. And then the Palestinian offering to go down to an Israeli military base to help work the cure. And then the Israeli general saying, I don't want to get you in any trouble with your people. Just say the word. You could get in a lot of trouble by helping an Israeli general. I just believe you can do this cure long distance. And then the Palestinians marveling that a foreigner had that much faith, that the most unexpected person had that much faith. Even more so than the very devout people that they were of their own culture. Okay, and Jesus then declaring that people from everywhere, including people who they might in other contexts consider to be their enemies, will also have a better place in the world to come. All will be included. This is a very powerful message. And as we heard in today's first reading, specifically chosen for this special Mass here in Joppa, the Holy Spirit revealed to Peter that just as Jesus did, so also Peter should do. Okay? So the Holy Spirit revealed to Peter here in Joppa that Jesus did not intend that his own outreach to the servant of that Roman centurion, he didn't intend that to be a one-time event. And so we have another Roman centurion, another Israeli general, so to speak, and his name we do know, Cornelius. And this story is about a far bigger miracle than a single long-distance physical healing. In fact, two very remarkable things occur. First of all, the Roman centurion, the person whom a devout Jew would least expect to have any potential, becomes the first Gentile to believe in Jesus Christ. Not just any Roman, but one of the leaders of the soldiers who are oppressing their people. Okay? And we notice that he was described as a devout man, a pious man, meaning that our biblical writer recognizes that even though he was under the other flag, he is a good person. Okay? And we see that there are good people in every group, and we're blind to that sometimes. The second remarkable thing is that Peter learns through this vision and through this whole experience that there is no divine impediment to the baptism of uncircumcised Gentiles. Meaning, he discovers for the first time that you don't have to become a Jew in order to become a Christian. You can stay what you are. You don't have to sacrifice your own ethnic identity, anything like that. Okay? Christianity is to be a new religion, not just a movement within Judaism. And this sets the stage for the subsequent approval of St. Paul's full-blown mission to the Gentiles, starting that we see in the Council of Jerusalem. So now here we've got it. Already in the very first generation of Christianity, believers discover that Jesus' mission, and consequently the mission of the church, is to be universal, characterized by doctrinal unity and cultural diversity, Catholic. And also that there should be no barriers of separation between people. And I hope every one of us will bring home from this pilgrimage two things. Well, actually more than these two things, but two things that I want to mention now. A much closer relationship with Jesus Christ, ourselves personally, for having been in the places where he gave his whole life for us. Okay, a deeper, more intimate relationship with Jesus that's not just in the head, but is tangible. We've been the places, we've seen the places, and therefore that each of us returns home with a much deeper and more heartfelt connection to Jesus. He's a companion, not just someone we've learned about. And also a much deeper appreciation of the unity amid diversity that is at the heart of our faith. And indeed is the very reason why we are called Catholic. And that this unity amid diversity comes with a cost. It requires self-sacrificing love. It requires the courage to reach across barriers, okay? And therefore return to the United States with also a much more profound embrace ourselves of the universal mission of the church.